a medical breakthrough, perhaps. Now, evidence is building that an aspirin a day may keep not only the heart surgeon, but also the oncologist away. Now, studies by Oxford University researchers have already found that daily consumption of aspirin can help reduce the risk of certain types of cancer. Now, the same team of researchers have found that low-dose aspirin can significantly prevent or slow the spread of cancer. Now, depending on the type of cancer, aspirin appears to reduce, a hard medical word here, metastasis, by between 18 and 46%. I'm not sure if I got that right, but that certainly sounds like it might do you some good. And the research is being published today in the British medical journals The Lancet and The Lancet Oncology. This sounds like big news. But does it mean that if we aren't already, that we should start taking a daily aspirin right now? Professor Andrew Tonkin may be able to help us. Professor Tonkin is a senior investigator with Monash University's ASPRI study. Now, it's a long-term investigation into the health effects of low-dose aspirin in the elderly. He's also head of the Cardiovascular Research Unit at the Department of Epidemiology and Preventative Medicine at Monash University. And he's read the Lancet research. Professor, hello.
Hello, Jonathan.
Should we start taking an aspirin a day? Will this ward off cancer?
I don't think we're quite at the stage where we can make a population-wide recommendation to that effect. Having said that, these are important papers, and I think they take us a step towards the direction, and certainly I think strengthen the evidence that aspirin may indeed have an effect on cancer development and also cancer spread.
Now, walk us through what we found in the Lancet report. Now, it seems to cover two major developments that aspirin taken daily over 3 years can reduce cancer risk by 23% for men and 25% for women, and that a daily aspirin can also help stop the spread of cancer. Is that in a nutshell?
First of all, this was the biggest overview of all the aspirin studies there have been. Comparing aspirin is against nothing, placebo.
Yep.
And that showed that, in fact, in 51 studies, there was a reduction in cancer death. It appeared to be perhaps earlier, after 3 years, in people taking a larger dose of aspirin, over 350 milligrams a day. And after 5 years, so it's a longer duration,
right,
in people taking a lower dose. Importantly, these studies did not include the two larger studies, one in close to 40,000 women and also another in 22,000 men in the US. They took every second day alternate day aspirin, went for 10 to 12 years, which is more plausible to see an aspirin effect on cancer. They were neutral. They decided that they wouldn't include those people because it was second daily aspirin. So there's a question about dose. The next comment I'd make it is about incident cancer, new cancer. In fact, that appeared the effect after 3 years. You have to take it longer than that. But in absolute terms, which is really where the impact will be, a 25% reduction, in fact, was from a base rate of 12 new cases of cancer per 1,000 treated each year to 9 per 1,000 per year.
Okay.
So it's much smaller when you put it in those terms.
I'm feeling deflated.
No, these are still very, very important studies, Jonathan.
What is it about aspirin that has these extraordinary effects?
That is a great question. Aspirin has been used because of its effect on platelets, which are cells in the blood. And it's very interesting that the formulation of aspirin that's usually been used in these studies doesn't get into other tissues in the body. So it really suggests that the effect on platelets themselves are important. And there is actually some evidence to support that at a basic science level, that it's the effect on platelets that might be associated with cancer development and then spread.
Now, your work, your study has not been focusing on the cancer aspect?
Well, I think it's actually critical. This is a key issue. We have to, when we prescribe a treatment, think about the net benefits. That is, what might be the benefits on cancer as well as heart attack and stroke and the risks, particularly bleeding. And so we particularly don't have that data in older people in whom the risk of those things we might want to prevent is greater, but also the risk of bleeding. And it's also going to pick up by looking at quality of life and not just life years that are lived. The other things, such as bleeding, which may cause impaired quality of life and so on. So we think this study is crucial because all the data really has been in people around the age of 60.
I mean, we don't like to sort of jump the gun on medical research, but given the nature of aspirin, why would people not start taking a low dose, you know, ahead of any serious findings here?
It is simply because of the question of bleeding, and indeed the most worrying concern with aspirin is bleeding into the brain. That causes a larger stroke, which is more often fatal than the more common form of stroke, which might be prevented by aspirin. There's also the other possibilities, bleeding from the bowel and so on. So we need to establish that risk-benefit, particularly for older people. And as I said, we just don't have that information at this time.
Are we sort of foolish in research to keep looking for these panaceas? I mean, that's aspirin, you know, heart disease, stroke, cancer. Gosh, what more can it not do? I mean, it's a broad brush.
Aspirin's a wonderful drug. You know, it's the most widely used medication around the world, and I think it really is. I think it is maybe a little bit fanciful to say, well, one thing is going to cure all. It's simply not. Mm. And we tend to sometimes forget the critical importance of lifestyle. But I think this does open the question about the platelets, things that that act on platelets, a new avenue of research for a therapeutic target for cancer.
What are the next steps in this sort of work?
Well, I think that people will be fascinated by the data about the spread of cancer. They'll try and establish how aspirin might be working in that regard. They'll actually even target the molecular levels and see what could be done there. So I think we need to get more critical data, but I think it is very important information to take us a step further.
Is it hard to hose down when these stories appear in the press, as they will?
Well, it is
deal with public expectation?
It is fascinating, Jonathan. 6 weeks ago, the questions were, after another important overview of publications, more problems with non-trivial bleeding than there were reduction of heart attacks and strokes. So the pendulum swings, that people will be concerned about the side effects. They're then saying we shouldn't take aspirin. They now will be saying, well, we should take it in all cases. Mm. I think it's an individual decision for that person in conjunction with a medical practitioner to think about whether or not we don't have the panacea yet for a population-wide move.
I'm warned, I'm holding off.
I would hold off and speak to you, Doctor.
Professor Tonkin, thank you. That's Professor Andrew Tonkin, who's with Monash University's ASPRI study, looking at this new research into the possible effects of aspirin.